Carolina, I'm just so you know, I am on the phone right now. This is what I'm doing over here.
Okay.
Yeah, so just if you want to just use one of the intros to the show that we've already recorded, maybe one from the first season. I don't think anyone will notice.
We have a contractual obligation to produce an entirely new episode every week. We can't. We've already started taping. You need to get off the phone. We just need to.
Well, this happens to be a very important call.
I don't know what to tell you. They're already recording. They're.
Hey, look, just make sure that they edit this out, okay? I'm dealing with a very sensitive situation. By the way, did I tell you that I lost Carlos?
What?
My pet ant. I let him out.
Okay.
Of his mason jar.
Right.
And yeah, I let him crawl on my face and he was tickling me.
Yeah.
And now for the life of me, I can't find him. And we've talked about this before. It's one of the excruciating elements of having a pet ant.
Right.
You know, I adore Carlos.
Yeah.
And obviously Baxter is family to me, but a pet ant is one of the best pets I've ever had.
Totally. Remember when you thought Carlos was Lucy and Lucy was Carlos?
Yes.
And then you realized?
Yep. I had been calling.
Oh my God.
Lucy, Carlos, and Carlos, Lucy.
That was so funny.
That's when I took them into the vet.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I opened up the matchbox and I said, Dr. Schwartz, Carlos seems to have an ear infection. And he was like, Carlos?
I think you mean Lucy.
I think you mean Lucy. Because this is obviously a female ant.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Egg on your face.
Oh. And the ramifications of that are because that means we had been celebrating Lucy's birthday
right.
on Carlos's birthday. And it's just the ripple effect.
The financial ramifications.
Yes.
Because you had put stuff in their account.
Right.
And joint accounts. We had to separate those.
But of course, the most tragic part of that day is when he said, by the way, this is Lucy. And I go, oh, okay. We had a laugh. And he goes, however, we're going to have to put Lucy down.
I know.
And
that was.
Yeah.
Because I didn't hear from you for a week.
She had Lyme disease in her right antenna. And then, you know, of course, how they put an ant down.
Actually, I don't. How?
Did you just crush it with your thumb?
Oh my God.
And he kept looking at me. He goes, are you ready?
You watch?
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
And I go, well, he goes, some people like to leave the room. And I'm like, right. well, I don't, and before I could say it, he just crushed it with his thumb. I just was, oh.
That is so messed up.
I was so angry at Dr. Schwartz.
There has to be a more humane way.
There has to be. And I just said, Dr. Schwartz, if I don't do it right away, people will beg and beg and, you know, they'll drag it on forever.
Right.
And then you have an aunt who's living in pain.
And not happy.
And we have to watch this Lyme disease that's occurring in ants, the ant population. So anyway, now it's just Carlos, but now I can't find him.
You can't find him.
So
what do you do with your time if you can't find Carlos? Well, Baxter is busy.
I've put out treats all throughout the house.
Yeah.
Little buckets of horseradish with butterscotch candies.
Oh, that'll get him.
That usually attracts him.
You'll know him when you see him.
I'm gonna give him such a hug. Anyway, I'm on hold. So just why don't you just use one of the intros from season one?
Well, I don't know what to tell you. We're contractually obligated to produce an entirely new episode every week, and we've already started taping, so you need to get off the phone.
Yeah, but this happens to be a very important call.
We've been talking about ants for the past 5 minutes, so I don't know how important it could be.
All right, look, I'm doing what's called hardballing.
Okay.
It's a negotiating tactic. You're right. I've just put them on hold.
Okay.
For no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I did want to tell you about Carlos.
I know. I'm sorry.
But, you know, right now I'm just letting them sweat a little bit. So watch and learn.
And I'm sorry I said just ants. Like, I know that they're your pets and I know that you care about
them.
No,
I know you.
Okay.
I know you, man. No, No big deal. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Watch this and learn. I'm going to...
You hardball?
This is called hardball. I'm going to take them off hold. Hello. Sorry to put you on hold for so long there, sir. That was Steven Dorff calling. Yeah. So you can see I have a lot of other offers to consider. What's that? Oh, we're going to Dan Tana's. In fact, that's another thing we could cover in the class. Yes, I've got a lot of great ideas. No, I don't know when I can be reached. Just to wrap this up, you have my counter. Bye-bye. Okay.
What was that call about? I mean, please tell me if it wasn't about the show.
No, it was about something else. It has nothing to do with welcoming everybody to another episode of the Ron Burgundy Podcast. Hello, this is Ron Burgundy. We've got a great episode for you. And Carolina, did you notice how I just nailed that intro and made it a segue at the same time? It's called broadcast professionalism.
Yeah, I have to admit that was actually pretty seamless.
Yep, and I left enough space for the engineers to edit around it. For the listener, it will just sound like a high-energy, regular opening to the show. Make sure to edit out everything that was being recorded before.
I'm sorry. I just can't get my mind off of that phone call. And we can cut this out.
Come on. Make up your mind. Are we doing the intro to the show or not? Why are you creating all this post-production work?
You just seemed kind of aggressive on that call. And I'm curious what you're working on.
I'm in the middle of putting together a deal to one of those masterclass things. Okay? So there. Have you seen those?
Wait, that's the thing online where experts in their field talk to you about their knowledge?
Yes, exactly. And then you forget you signed up for it, and your credit card gets charged again, and you're like, wow, what did I do?
Yeah, but they're really worth it, I think. They've gotten some incredible people to do those from all walks of life.
I know. Wolfgang Puck teaching culinary arts, Annie Leibovitz on photography, Howard Schultz from Starbucks on business, and I think Marty did one on filmmaking.
Okay, can you please not do that?
I'm sorry, do what?
The thing where people call Martin Scorsese Marty, like they know him personally.
I didn't even know that was a thing with Marty.
Stop calling him Marty.
I have the right to call him Marty, okay? That's what his friends call him. They call him Marty.
You're friends with Martin Scorsese.
No, okay. Honestly, yeah. not best friends, but when he calls me, I pick up the phone and I answer, hello? And he says, hey, it's Marty. And then he usually starts talking really fast about some old foreign film. And I'm like, okay, Marty, slow down. Good God. But I love that guy. He's actually probably listening. Shout out to Marty if you're listening. Please tell Helen and the kids I say hello.
Ron, how do you know Martin Scorsese?
Oh, wow. You are really taking me back now, Carolina. I guess it had to be around the summer of 1981 because I was in New York at the time. Yeah, that would be right. That's when Joe Strummer introduced me to Marty.
Wait, hold on. You knew Joe Strummer?
Well, do you know him? Yeah, he had a little band at the time. The Smash or something.
The Clash. Run. Yes. They were called The Clash. Yes, I know who Joe Strummer is. I'm just surprised you do.
Well, I knew him well. Nice guy. But he did screw me on a news story one time. I remember I was doing a piece on how a venue called Bond's Casino had oversold a bunch of concert tickets for Joe's goofy punk band.
They were a really good band, Ron. They were called The Clash.
Anyway, I went down to the venue looking for riots and violence and a bunch of young, dangerous punk rockers. Kids with spiked hair throwing bricks around and telling their parents to put it where the sun don't shine. It was going to be a sizzler for the news that night.
Let me guess, that's not what happened?
No, not at all. Good guess, yeah. It was all very peaceful and boring because Joe Strummer and his band, which for some reason these weird kids wanted to see, agreed to play extra shows for every kid who bought a ticket, which was a stand-up thing to do. But if it were me, I would have said, tough luck, punkers.
You know, this is sort of a legendary story in rock history.
Well, it was a terrible news story that night in 1981. I'm sorry, how did we get on this topic? Oh, right. You were questioning whether or not I, Ron Burgundy, was close enough friends with Martin Scorsese to call him Marty.
I just find it a little surprising that you were part of such a specific moment in pop culture history.
If you haven't figured it out by now, Ron Burgundy is full of surprises, okay? And if you don't believe me, you can ask who?
Martin
Scorsese? Yes, Marty. We can just record the intro to the show, please. If we can just get that going, the masterclass people will be calling back soon with their final offer.
Actually, we're running short on time and we want to get the ads recorded. You ran out last time, so they're suggesting we just do those first.
All right, all right, all right. Fair enough. Let's do an ad break, and then I'll get a little drunk, have some eggs, and we can get back in the booth. Back here on the Ron Burgundy Podcast, very excited to talk with our guest today, Linda Evans. We are going to talk about her work on the television show Dynasty. And she has a few choice words for her ex-husband, Yanni.
No, sorry. Wait, that's next week's episode, Ron.
Oh, well, what are we going to do for today's show? Oh, let me give the audience a free masterclass lesson.
Don't worry, we actually have a great guest, one I think you'll love. It's Taron Egerton from Rocket Man.
Oh, wow. Are you serious? Carolina, that's a big get.
He's in the car now on his way to the studio.
Oh, that's fantastic. We're going to talk to Rocket Man. Wow. I have so many questions for Tarragon Edamame.
Taron Egerton, wait, aren't you guys friends? Didn't you help promote Rocket Man?
Very good friends, yes. We've mentioned Rocket Man multiple times here on the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, just it's the movie of the decade. Yeah, the millennium. And yes, I was paid a side fee to occasionally mention Rocket Man. But
we talked about no under the table payments this year.
Tarragon and I are become quite close.
Okay. Wait, if you're so close, why can't you pronounce his name?
I don't want to bug him, and I'm embarrassed to ask what the real pronunciation of his name is.
Yeah. I can tell you it's Taron Egerton.
Okay. Well, that's one of the things we can dive into. I'll just
first
say
thing.
When he sits down, I'll say, for our listeners, can you tell us how you pronounce your name?
Right. I think he'll probably just say it's Taron Egerton, just so you know what to expect.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We'll see.
Stay tuned.
You know, I've seen Rocket Man 17 times, right?
I legitimately enjoyed it. I didn't know.
I love it.
It was a full musical.
Full musical. Yes. Full on musical. Okay. Before he gets here, I'll do a quick distilled version of my masterclass for our listeners. This one's on the house, folks. If you're listening, actually, Carolina is there anyway. We can send all of our podcast listeners a bill for $1,000. You know what? No. Never mind.
Okay.
That would take. Yeah, I don't know how we get people's addresses. Yeah. So this one's on the house.
I have to say, I'm skeptical at the idea of you doing one of these masterclass things.
Why would you be skeptical? You know, sometimes I think you and I are getting too close, Carolina. Sometimes I think you forget you're talking to Ron Burgundy.
I know. I'm always painfully aware of who I'm talking to. I can just picture your masterclass. I mean, you really have had quite an interesting life. Your expertise as a newsman is invaluable.
Well, but that's kind of you to say. But no, I am not doing a masterclass about any of that. Nothing about me or my broadcasting career.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
That would be ridiculous. Those are trade secrets, Carolina. The amount of money they would have to pay me to give up all that stuff, I don't think I can count that high.
Wait, if you're not going to teach a master class about broadcasting, what's the class about? What is this for?
Giving a home massage.
Wait, what?
A Ron Burgundy master class on giving a home massage.
Ron, how are you going to fill out whatever it is, 20 lessons on giving a home massage?
Well, first off, 20 lessons is very limiting. I think we're going to need at least 50 lessons for me to properly do a masterclass on the art of the home massage.
It can't be that complicated.
Well, you've never had the pleasure of receiving a home massage from Ron Burgundy. All right, Nick, if you can give me my masterclass music, please. Thank you, Nick. Folks at home, Have you ever wanted to start a massage business and be a traveling salesman? I don't blame you. It makes sense. You want to touch your neighbors and get paid for it. But I think you need to know a few things first. Carolina, how is it so far? It's good, right?
I don't know. I'm still listening.
I'll take that as a compliment. All right. Now, some of you might say, hey, Ron, starting a home massage service during the pandemic is a bad idea. And to that, I say, maybe. Yes, you might have to go knock down some doors. And when I say knock down some doors, I mean literally knock those down. You break into some homes and you just walk in with your arms up and you say, hey, I mean no harm, but I need to come in and give you a massage. And 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work. And it can get kind of sticky, actually. But 1 out of 10, 10%, you meet a real crazy person who'll let a trespasser give them a home massage. And then, do you know what you have?
No.
A client. That's called a client. Now, to be a good masseuse, you need to know the names of all the human body joints, muscle groups, ligaments, and body tissues.
Okay, great. This is actually good information.
Yes. So you have your head, your face, your neck, then moving down your chest bone, your chest, upper back, lower back, tummy. Are you getting this?
Yeah, I know all these body parts.
And always remember a little guide I use, milk, lemonade.
That's helpful with massages?
Mm-hmm. Just to remind me what areas. Okay. Milk, lemonade. But then the dingles in the underwear zones are off limits, all right? Let's make that clear. We run a classy joint. I have a motto for my home massage business, and it's, you'll feel like you got a happy ending, right?
It sounds suspicious.
Now, one thing's very important is tipping. A lot of customers don't do it.
Oh, yeah, I hate that. I hate bad tippers. It's so rude.
Rude is the right word. It is extremely rude.
Yeah.
Because you're just a mom and pop, you know, business.
Yeah, you're counting on your tips.
So what I do to head that off, and, you know, it also eliminates embarrassment, I include a 40% added gratuity with every bill.
You just make people pay you a 40% tip?
Yes. It makes it easier. And I don't know why people don't do that more. Wait, when is Taryn Edgerton getting here? Didn't you say he was coming?
Yeah, he's actually here. He's in the waiting room. We should tell him to come in.
Okay, great. We have a little more time for my masterclass. Now, another thing I get a lot is people ringing on my doorbell in the middle of the night saying, Ron, what do you wear when you're giving a massage? And I always tell them, good heavens, just wear something that you're comfortable in, you know? So for you, Carolina, that would probably be what? Cargo shorts,
okay.
A piano key necktie, and I don't know, maybe a little fuzzy Kangol hat.
Okay, what do you wear?
Cashmere turtleneck.
All right.
Some nice wool pants, comfortable shoes. That's important. And a ski mask so I don't sweat on them.
So what do you do if someone hates your massage? Have you ever gotten a bad review?
What? Who told you to ask that? Was it that bitch Lisa P. from Yelp? Lisa, if you're listening, I read what you wrote in your Yelp review. And I just want to set the record straight. I lit a match after I took a shit in your bathroom. It shouldn't have smelled that bad, okay? And if you can't shit in toilets anymore, well, that's news to me. Wait, that's another thing I'd like to share with my masterclass. You can shit in any toilet you see. It's a client's toilet. Who cares? Take your time. I bring a book in case I have to take a shit. You can't make your client feel comfortable if you're uncomfortable.
Okay. Someone left you a Yelp comment saying that you took a shit in their bathroom?
Yes, but she loved the massage. Loved it. It was still a 5-star review.
I don't think I would love one of your massages, I have to be honest.
Oh, you would be comfortable, but you're never getting one, though. Never.
I don't want you to give me a home massage, but why wouldn't you give me a home massage?
First, to have a proper home massage, you need to have a home. And everyone here knows that you've been living out of your car for the last month.
What? I have... No, I live in my apartment.
Wait, you're telling me you're not homeless?
I'm not. If I was, that would be awful. And I feel for people in that situation.
I see. Right. So as an empathetic gesture, you dress like a homeless person. You know what, Carolina? That's terrible. What you're doing is called virtue signaling. Instead of spending all that time and money to look like a homeless person, why don't you actually give the money to the homeless?
First, I'm wearing regular, normal, clean clothes. Also, when did you learn about the concept of virtue signaling?
If you must know, Sia taught me about virtue signaling, and I know it when I see it. She's my ex-girlfriend.
I remember.
We were in love.
Yes. Wait, if you thought I was homeless, why wouldn't you have wanted to help me?
You know, you got to pick yourselves up by your bootstraps, you know?
Okay.
Had you told me.
Right.
It was kind of an educated guess. But had you said, hey, Ron, by the way, I don't know if you notice, I'm homeless. I'd be like, oh, Carolina, let me give you a bag of carrots and some coupon I have for Goodwill. I would have helped you immediately.
I guess that could have helped.
In a positive, impactful way. Hold on just one second, though. Let's just record the intro, because I am excited to talk with Tarragon Edamame.
Taryn Edgerton.
I'm just going to call him Rocket Man, and that way I don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Are we rolling?
Yep.
Yes? Yep. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Ron Burgundy Podcast. As always, I'm joined by Carolina, who, glory be to God, is not homeless, does not sleep in her car. Today on the show, we talk to Rocket Man. Oh, okay. Okay, we got the intro. Masterclass lawyers are calling back. Let me just close this deal.
Okay.
This is Ron. Wow. Hello, Marty.
What?
What the hell, man? How's it going? Hey, I'm actually taping my podcast right now. Do you mind if we put you on the air? Okay. I understand. I won't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know why I asked. I thought it might be fun. Yes, I've been talking to the masterclass people. I see. So that's their final offer then. Gosh, Marty, I gotta ask you as a friend. Do you think I should take it? Okay. Well, it's not gonna be about any of that. It's gonna be about giving a home massage. I think 50 lessons. Hey, one other thing while I have you. It's cool that I call you Marty, right? Okay. Thanks for calling. Hey, say hi to Helen. Ha ha! You too.
Was that...
Martin Scorsese? Yes. And for the record, he said, of course I can call him Marty. But the masterclass people called him and said I was being difficult in closing the deal.
Okay, so are you going
to
do it?
I don't know. I have to sleep on it. I think what I'll do is I'll head home. I'll call up and get a home massage and really think it through. It'd be a shame not to share my knowledge of home massage through Masterclass. I do want to get paid what I'm worth, though.
I mean, how far apart are you and the Masterclass people on negotiations?
Well, they are offering me nothing.
Okay.
And saying if I want to record one, it'll be on my dime, and I can't use their branding. So it's been tough.
Yeah, that's hardball.
Yeah. Is Rocket Man here?
We should really call him Taryn.
Okay.
But about that, we're running out of studio time. They need to set up to record the next show, and Taryn is waiting for an Uber outside. I'm sorry.
So I'm not going to talk to Tarragon Edamame today about the process of filming Rocket Man?
I'm sorry, not today.
What are we going to release as an episode this week?
I talked to iHeart, and they assured me they'll be able to put something together.
Oh, so it'll be a rerun?
Yeah, a rerun probably. We just need you to record an outro, and we're done.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, are you all right?
I'm just clearing my voice. Yeah. Well, that's it. We'll see you next time on the Ron Burgundy Podcast with our guest, Rocket Man, from the movie Rocket Man. As always, thanks for listening to the Ron Burgundy Podcast. Okay, I better call the masterclass people back.
Really? For to what?
Just, I just feel like I left it open-ended.
Okay.
And maybe I can think of another. I don't know. Maybe I should talk about my career in journalism.
It makes sense, right?
Something that's, you know, that I'm more known for.
Right.
Even though I feel like if I could teach a masterclass on home massage, mm-hmm. I would start to get more known for home massage, the art of home massage,
right,
than for anything I've done in the journalism world.
Wow.
That's how confident I am in my abilities as a masseuse.
Yeah.
That's where my head is at. But you know what? Maybe I do this. Maybe I'm just thinking out loud here.
And switch gears.
Yeah, maybe I do. Okay, hey, Masterclass, how about if Ron Burgundy talks about his life and times in journalism and how to be a journalist? And then I slip in home massage.
Maybe lesson three.
Yeah, lesson three, I just go right to home massage.
So smart.
And then...
a Trojan horse.
Yes. Thank you, Carolina, for helping me solve that. Oh, and one other thing.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear.
Okay.
I will never give you a home massage.
Okay. What?
You will learn how to give one if you pay for my masterclass, but you'll never have the pleasure of a Ron Burgundy home massage.
You know what? Okay.
I think it's professional. We don't want to blur the lines. Did we go off the air?
I think we're still recording.
Oh, okay. Oh, you weren't supposed to listen to any of that. This is Ron Burgundy once again saying, hey, this isn't England. Make sure you drive on the right side of the road. Thank you. The Ron Burgundy Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Ron Burgundy, the host, writer, and executive producer. Carolina Barlow is my co-host, writer, and producer. Our producer is Nick Stumpf. Our talent coordinator is Anna Hosnier. Our writers are Andrew Steele and Jake Vogelnest. This episode was engineered, mixed, and edited by Nick Stumpf. Until next time, this is Ron Burgundy.